देवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः ओके सो वी विल स्टडी चैप्टर फोर्थ सती क्विट्स हर बॉडी टेक्स्ट वन मैत्रेया उवाच एतावदुक्त्वा विरराम शंकरा पत्न्यं घनाशं हि उभयत्र चिन्तयन् सुहृद्दिदिक्षु परिशंकित भवान् निष्क्रामति निर्वशति द्विद्वासः
The sage Maitreya said, Lord Shiva was silent after speaking to Sati, seeing her between decisions. Sati was very much anxious to see her relatives at her father's home, but at the same time she was afraid of Lord Shiva's warning. Her mind unsettled, she moved in and out of the room as a swing moves this way and that.
Sati very much desired to go and see her relatives, right? Women specially like to go for social function, kitty parties, you know. So that is like womanly nature to attend, especially the social occasion, very enthusiastic. And so, of course, Sati had that womanly nature also. So, therefore, she was very eager to go and attend this, these festivities. Right? However, Lord Shiva warned. Right? So now, therefore, now she became, you know, her mind was didasasa. Didas means torn between the two, you know, the duality. Sometime you may have to take some, you may have to take some decision, and both are equally important. You may be torn, which direction I should go. Right? So this may happen. So therefore her predicament is being described over here. Right? So she was moving in and out of the room. She wanted to go, but then she remembered Lord Shiva's warning. She would come inside. So in and out, like, you know, and Prabhupada compares her situation to be like swinging of pendulum. You know, so one mind is saying she should go, another saying she should not because of Lord Shiva's warning. So Prabhupada says, someone read the purport, four lines only. Yeah.
Purport?
Yeah, read the purport.
Sati's mind was divided about whether to go to her father's house or obey the orders of Lord Shiva. The struggle between the two decisions was so strong that she was pushed from one side of the room to another. And she began to move just like the pendulum of a clock.
Okay, so see, she actually, you know, she was actually was having a very tough time, very difficult time, right? Can you imagine? She was being torn apart. She wants to go, but you know, Lord Shiva has warned, she can't go, right? So, one important point is that one may have many plans and proposals, right? In this world, one can put forth so many brilliant plans and many proposals, but one should be detached from them also. Because in the material world, the art of acting is detachment. Right? So one, if one is attached, too much attached to one's plans and proposal, then when some other higher authority or something that says that they should not be executed, right? Then one is torn apart, you know, that this should be done, but, right? So, as if you see the example of Maharaj Parikshit also, right? Maharaj Parikshit was at the peak of his career in one sense, right? As a king, he subdued Kali, he subdued all other kings were submissive to him, subordinate kings, everything. But as soon as there was indication, right, he immediately packed up everything. Right? So one may have many plans and proposal, but one should also be ready to pack them up any time. Right? So that means, so Prabhupada described there that Maharaj Parikshit always lived in the temperament of detachment. So therefore, in this material world, while we are dealing with material energy or we are employing material energy in the service of Krishna, our attachment should be to direct devotional service, right, hearing and chanting. But as far as the other employing material energy in the service of Krishna, various tasks, various plans, proposals, all that we should do in the mood of or in a temperament of detachment, knowing well that in material world, any time we have to pack up, right? One may have great ideas, right? Or so many plans or whatever, right? So that is one. So one, if the whole point is, if one becomes too attached to one's own, you know, the one's plans, propositions, etc., then to that degree one will suffer. Because the nature of material world is that, you know, the things will change in due course of time. Right? Go to text 2. So hridya diksha pratighata durmana. Sneha drudatyashru kalati vivala bhavam bhavanya pratipurusham rusha pradakshyati vakshata jata vepatu.
Sati felt very sorry at being forbidden to go see her relatives at her father's house. And due to affection for them, tears fell from her eyes. Shaking and very much afflicted, she looked at her uncommon husband, Lord Shiva, as if she were going to blast him with her vision.
Right, so she looked very angrily at Lord Shiva, right? She was feeling very sorry for being forbidden, right? So therefore, as I said, one should not develop too much attachment to one's ideas, right? Whatever, because to the degree we become too attached, you know, to our brilliant ideas or our brilliant plans, to that degree we'll suffer also, right? So therefore, but she already had, you know, she, so sometime one go to seek permission, not really for permission, but just, you know, some kind of stamp, authorization. One has already decided. You know, sometimes one goes to authority just to inform, to get a rubber stamp. One has already decided that I have to do this. One is too attached, right? But simply as a matter of formality, one goes sometime, you know, so that tomorrow no one should ask that I acted independently, right? So let there be rubber stamp of authority. But that should not be the mood. Mood should be to take permission. When you go to seek permission, means you are open to not to do also if forbidden. Right? So therefore, it's one should know that, you know, that already pre-deciding that I have to do this without blessings, right, could be actually harmful. Right? So if one is going to seek some permission, that means one is open to follow and not follow either way. Right? But Sati had already decided when Lord Shiva forbade, she could not take that in. Right? So therefore, she looked at her husband with angry eyes as if to blast him. Right? Bhavam bhavanne aprati purusham brusha. Pradhakshati, pradhakshati means to blast. Pradhakshati iv akshat. As if, it's not that she decided to blast him, as if she looked at with so angry eyes. Prabhupada says the word apratipurusham used in this verse means one who has no equal. Lord Shiva has no equal in the material world in regard to his equality towards everyone. His wife Sati knew that her husband was equal towards everyone. So why in this case was he so unkind to his wife that he did not allow her to go to her father's house? This distressed her more than she could tolerate. And she looked at her husband as if she were ready to blast him with her vision. Right? In other words, Lord Shiva is the Atma. Shiva also means Atma. It is indicated here that Sati was prepared to commit suicide. So, the point indicated herein is that herein in this series of verses it will be indicated that she is bent on destroying herself now. Right? So Vishnu Thakur describes that Lord Shiva understood that she would now destroy herself in either case. Either by agony or by insult. Right? So if Lord Shiva understood, if he forcibly stops her, what will happen? She will destroy herself by so much mental agony. Right? She has so much desire that she, if she forcibly stopped, she would destroy herself by this pain which she was feeling, right? By her mental agony. And if he allows her to go, she would be insulted and there also she would destroy herself. Right? So therefore Lord Shiva understood that she actually has developed this destructive mentality. So in either case, if he allows her or doesn't allow her, because she has developed that destructive mentality, she is now bound to destroy. So the number of series of these verses indicated that her actually this mentality which she developed would be the cause of her destruction. Right? So basically then what do we understand that how when one becomes too attached to, right, his own independent way of doing things, right, then you forbid him or not forbid him. In either case he is bent on destroying oneself. Right? So therefore Lord Shiva understood that, you know, that she has developed this destructive mentality. So in either case Lord Shiva understood if I stop her forcibly or allow her, she is going to be destroyed. Text 3. Tato vinishvasya sati vihayatam shoke naroshena cha duyatarida pitro ragastren vimuda dhirgrihan premnatmano yoridam adatsatam priyaha.
Thereafter, Sati left her husband, Lord Shiva, who had given her half his body due to affection. breathing very heavily because of anger and bereavement, she went to the house of her father. This less intelligent act was due to her being a weak woman.
Right, so Maitreya Muni speaking that she, although she was being torn, she finally decided to leave her husband and neglect her husband's advice and go to the house of her father. Right? Pitro ragat stren vimood dhir grihan. So she left, went to her father, and Maitreya Muni says this is due to her womanly weakness. Due to her womanly weakness. Right? So actually, when a person acts contrary to religious principle, then his defects are pointed. That is the rule. Right? So Prabhupada would also tell his followers, if you act wrongly, he was specially cautioned all his disciples when they came to Vrindavan. So he told them how to behave. He said, if you behave improperly, then everyone will point out, look, this Malaysia, they don't know anything. Like Prabhupada was always defending that, you know, by initiation from spiritual master, by following rules and regulations, they have become Brahmanas. Right? So their fault of the birth, that if they are behaving properly, then if someone points out their birth fault, then it is due to envy, right? But if they behave they behave improperly, then Prabhupada cautioned them, then everyone will find fault. You know, look at Swamiji, he has made this Malaysians into Brahmanas, look at how they are behaving. You're getting the point? So therefore, because Sati, although a very exalted lady, because of her this behaving or acting improperly, now her fault has become prominent of being a, you know, having a womanly weakness. You're getting the point? So therefore, when a person behaves contrary to him, then people start looking, you know, look, you know, he came from this background, he has this problem or that, whatever, you know. So therefore, that happens naturally in that sense. So therefore, because she acted in this way, so Maitreya Muni says this is because, you know, she now acted by her lower nature in one sense. Right? Each human being has his higher and lower nature. He can choose to act by either higher nature or the lower nature. Right? So Prabhupada first of all comments on the word that how she was her better half, Lord Shiva, who had given her half his body. Right? So Prabhupada comments that how when you say the man is a woman is a better half, right? So Prabhupada talks in the third line, a husband without a wife or a wife without a husband is incomplete. Right? That is the meaning of she was the better half. So, and then Prabhupada says, in this verse it is specifically mentioned that she wanted to leave such a great husband at Shiva because of her womanly weakness. In other words, womanly weakness exists even in the relationship between husband and wife. Generally, a separation between husband and wife is due to womanly behavior. The divorce takes place due to womanly weakness. The best course for a woman is to abide by the orders of her husband. That makes family life very peaceful. Right? Sometimes there may be misunderstanding between husband and wife, as found even in such an elevated family relationship as that of Sati and Lord Shiva. But a wife should not leave her husband's protection because of such a misunderstanding. If she does so, it is understood to be due to womanly weakness. Okay, so some people may say, you know, that Prabhupada, you know, they sometimes blame that Prabhupada is male chauvinist, you know, that means he has a little biased opinion and, you know, etc. Some people may blame, but that is due to womanly weakness. Right? So one should, so Prabhupada is giving the scriptural understanding, you know, the scriptures governing household life govern that if the woman is submissive, then their family life actually is smooth. Right? If due to the weakness of the heart, she rebels, just like Sati does herein, then that becomes the cause of the family breakdown. Text 4. Taman vagachan duta vikramam satim. Ekam trinetra nuchara sahasrasa. Saparshada yakshamani man madadaya. Puro vrishenadra satarasagato vyatha.
When they saw Sati leaving alone very rapidly, thousands of Lord Shiva's disciples, headed by Maniman and Mother, quickly followed her with his bull Nandi in front and accompanied by the Yakshas.
Right, so the word Trinetra is also used. She was looking angrily at Lord Shiva, who is himself Trinetra, right? Who is anger personified, who can destroy by opening his third Netra. Right? But anyway, she left Lord Shiva and all these Anucharas of Lord Shiva. If you see, Ekam Trinetra Anucharas Hashrasa, the thousands of followers of Lord Shiva, right, headed by this Yakshas, Maniman and Madadaya, they all quickly followed her. They understood Lord Shiva's desire. And Anuchara means one, Prabhupada says Anuchara means one who can understand the purpose of his master. Right? Twice Prabhupada comments on the word Anuchara in this purport. If you see in the middle of the purport, he says the word Anuchara is also significant. For it indicates that Lord Shiva's disciples were ready to sacrifice anything for Lord Shiva. Right? All of them could understand the desire of Lord Shiva, who did not want Sati to go alone. Anuchara means those who can immediately understand the purpose of their master. So they all, Nandi and all the other Yakshas and Ghosts and Hobgoblins, they all went with Sati. Text 5. Tamsarika kanduka darpanam bhuja. Shweta tapatra vajana stragadibhi. Gitaye nerdundu bhishankha venubhir. Vrishindramaropya vitankita yuju.
The disciples of Lord Shiva arranged for Sati to be seated on the back of a bull and gave her the bird which was her pet. They bore a lotus flower, a mirror and all such paraphernalia for her enjoyment and covered her with a great canopy. Followed by a singing party with drums, conchals and bugles, the entire procession was as pompous as a royal parade.
Okay, so first of all, she was moving very quickly. Text 4 says she was moving very quickly, and then Prabhupada describes she didn't want to be stopped by her husband. Right? So she was moving very quickly. So then all the followers of Lord Shiva, she should not be just going like that. So they arranged a procession, you know. They made her sit on a bull, gave her the pet bird, right, and various royal paraphernalia. So Vishwanath Thakur says that the bird and other items indicate her attraction to playing. The instrument, singing and dancing indicate her attraction to music. The white umbrella and other items indicate her royal status. Right? So in this way, she went towards her father's house. Text 6. Abrahma Ghoshor Jita Yagya Vaishasham. Vipra Rishi Jushtam Vibudhaischa Sarvasha Mridharuya Kanchan Darbha Charmabhir Nishrishta Bhandam Yajanam Samavishat.
She then reached her father's house where the sacrifice was being performed and entered the arena where everyone was chanting the Vedic hymns. The great sages, brahmanas and demigods were all assembled there, and there were many sacrificial animals as well as pots made of clay, stone, gold, grass and skin, which were all requisite for the sacrifice.
Okay, so a description of sacrifice has been described over here in, right? There was a Brahma Ghosh. It was a transcendental Vedic, sounds of transcendental Vedic hymns. Right? There were many great sages, Vipra Rishi, Jushtam, Vibhudhascha, Sarvasha. And there was many various paraphernalia. Right? There was a sound, there was people, the paraphernalia, all these things are being described of the various aspects of that great yajna have been described over here. And Prabhupada says in the first paragraph that this Abrahma Ghosh, right? Brahma Ghosh refers to transcendental sound. So if you see, Prabhupada says in the fifth line, this transcendental sound has been simplified. Right? So there Brahmanas were chanting various mantras, etc. It has been simplified in the transcendental vibration of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Right? So the same transcendental vibration, or even more effective, right? It has been simplified and at the same time more profound also, right? In the form of this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And then Prabhupada describes that how it is not possible to carry out the big yajnas. And then second paragraph Prabhupada describes that the commenting on the word, the second paragraph Prabhupada comments on the word Yajna Vaishasham. Yajna Vaishasham means there was a sacrificial animal over there. And then Prabhupada describe that how it was not meant to be killed but rejuvenated to test the efficacy of the Vedic mantras. Guru text 7. Tamagatam tatra nakaschanadriyan vimanitam yagya krito bhayajana Hete susasrvay jananim cha sadara Prema shrukantya parisasvajur muda.
When Sati with her followers reached the arena, because all the people assembled were afraid of Daksha, none of them received her well. No one welcomed her but her mother and sisters, who with tears in their eyes and with glad faces welcomed her and talked with her very pleasingly.
Okay, so now when she came, tam agatam tatra na kaschan adriyat, she was not properly received by anyone. Rite means accept. Tasya rite shanam nita, you remember that word, rite, accept swastra vayajananim, accept the sister and mother. Right? So the father neglected, and because of the fear of Daksha, none of the sages, demigods, you know, and the other who had been participating, all those exalted personalities, they should have, you know, kind of welcomed Sati, but none of them welcomed due to fear of Daksha, because Daksha neglected her. Right? So Prabhupada describes that the mother and sister of Sati could not follow the others who did not receive Sati very well. Due to natural affection, they immediately embraced her with tears in their eyes and with loving feelings. This shows women as a class are very soft-hearted. Their natural affection and love cannot be checked by artificial means. So if you see in this purport, Prabhupada glorifies that quality, right? And then if you see the last line, right? So the Prabhupada said, actually the other men, they wanted to welcome, but they checked. You know, they didn't. So Prabhupada, if you see last, Prabhupada said, women are naturally soft-hearted, but men are sometimes very hard-hearted. Right? So men sometimes act as per their rational intelligence in a hard-hearted way. But women can't act in a hard-hearted way. They didn't care for Daksha and all that, you know. They just acted by their natural affection. Right? They acted by their natural affection. So that's like a good quality of, you know, women being glorified in one sense. Right? Text 8. Actually, Sridhara Mahaprabhu also glorified, you know, that lady was very eager to see Jagannath, you know. So she just climbed on Sridhara Mahaprabhu's shoulder, you know. She climbed on the shoulders of Mahaprabhu to see Jagannath, you know. And Govinda kind of rebuked her. Mahaprabhu said, you don't rebuke her. You know, she had such natural affection for Lord Jagannath. May I have such affection. Right? It's just that section is there. So like, you know, men may kind of act more rationally, you know, but women here said they act more out of affection, which is more pleasing to the Lord. Right? So one acts out of affection, that is more pleasing to the Lord than just by, you know, some etiquette as such. Now we are talking on a different platform, right? Guru text 8. Sondharya samprashna samartha vartaya matra cha matra susrabhischa sadaram Dattam saparyam varamasanam chasa Nadatta pitra pratinandita sati.
Although she was received by her sisters and mother, she did not reply to their words of reception. And although she was offered a seat and presents, she did not accept anything. For her father neither talked with her nor welcomed her by asking about her welfare.
So, although she was received by her sisters and mother, but she did not reply to their words of reception. Right? She did not accept any of the, you know, the mother and the sister, they offered her a seat and some presents. But she did not accept anything because her father neglected her. Right? Na datta pitra apratinandita sati. She did not accept all the other presents, etc. because her father neglected her. Right? So, Prabhupada says, can someone read the purport? It's a short purport only.
Sati did not accept the greetings offered by her sisters and mother, for she was not at all satisfied by her father's silence. Sati was the youngest child of Daksha, and she knew that she was his pet. But now, because of her association with Lord Shiva, Daksha forgot all his affection for his daughter, and this very much aggrieved her. The material body conception is so polluted that even upon slight provocation, all our relationships of love and affection are nullified. Body relationships are so transient that even though one is affectionate towards someone in a body relationship, a slight provocation terminates this intimacy.
Right, so Prabhupada very beautifully points out the flimsy nature of the material world. Right? The material bodily conception is so polluted, even slight provocation in all the relationships are terminated. So people in this world, you know, they may complain, they did so much for this person, that person, right? Even the best friend may become the worst enemies, right? Even the brothers, you know, often there are lakhs of millions of court cases being fought after property between brothers only, real brothers, right? Those who born of the same mother. So in this way, bodily relationships are so, you know, Prabhupada saying flimsy actually, right? There is, one should not put faith in anything material actually, right? So that point comes, Prabhupada brings out that point over here. And again Prabhupada says, if you see, bodily relations are so transient. First of all, Prabhupada says the bodily conception is so polluted. It is so polluted and so transient, right? These two words Prabhupada use. But just the opposite may happen at any moment. Right? So, also, the another important point is that what seems to be very promising, right, in this material world actually turns out to be very puny, right? In this world, like Sati was expecting, you know, she will be meeting the relatives and there will be such a, you know, great festivities, celebrations, right? So in this material world, there's a nature that people think, you know, they will, in the youth, they have a career, they have a job, you know, they will have a such a great relationship, great partner, right? So there, everything seems to be very promising in this material world. But actually, when it actually manifests, it turns out to be very puny, right? So therefore, what looked very promising to Sati, what is the, after coming, you know, there is nothing actually in it, right? There was a very nice statement by Mr. Alfred Ford. Right? What is Prabhu's initiated name? Amrish Prabhu. Amrish Prabhu, when we celebrated the 25th, you know, year, and there was a Pandal program in Bombay, again Cross Maidan, you know, celebrating 25th year of that program. There was another, after, like a silver jubilee of that Prabhupada's Pandal program. And that was celebrated, Amrish Prabhu was speaking, he was saying, you know, everyone wants to go towards, you know, material, promising material career, right? Everyone wants to achieve great career, great wealth, right? And walk on this path, which seems to be giving very promising result. Everyone is very eager to make progress, you know, on the path of economic development, prospective careers, etc. He said, I have reached the end of the road and I found there is nothing over there. Right? So everyone is like very eager to go, tread this path. He said, I have reached the end of it, I found nothing. So I am cautioning you all. He made this statement, you know. Right? So many people don't reach that end, you know, like, so they only think, you know, we missed the goal because, you know, we could not sufficiently progress ahead. But he said, no, there is nothing, right? So therefore, there's an important lesson actually. In this world, you know, things seem to be very promising, right? The material prospects seem to be very bright, actually, in this world, right? So many things, even devotees, you know, when I sometime we talk to, it's natural also in the peak of their youth, they're saying, oh, I'm going to become a graphic designer, I'm going to become financial analyst, I'm going to become this big career, you know, and then, you know, I will have a wife whom will I never fight with, you know, kind of, you know, they think we will be unique in the world, you know, so many people, they have many plans, many promising, you know, ideas actually. But one should know, intelligent person should know that everything that which seems to be promising will turn out to be puny. Puny means very small. Nothing much will be actually, right? So that's what Sati was expecting, you know, that there will be a great fanfare, you know, great fantasies in the yajna and all that, right? But everything, so therefore, another point is that all the fanfares and fantasies of this world are very flimsy. They just vanish in due course of time. They are very small. That's what Viduriji also says, right? If you say Viduriji shloka, we can recall here also, right? Sova ninam shulla sukhaya. It's what one thinks to be great, so it will be very small, right? One will take great endeavor, but again small sukh. But that small sukh also will be actually very flimsy, that it will become dukkha, right? That will go away. So therefore, you know, Sati, you know, she had to endeavor a lot, you know, convince her husband, give so many arguments, is it not? Right? So much effort to come here, and there is nothing actually. Right? What is achieved is nothing. So therefore, she is not at all happy with the cold reception of the father, and she is not at all happy with the gift and, you know, the affection offered by the mother and sister. Right? So that's the reality of this world. That's the reality of this world. So the reality will seem harsh if we have illusory opinion about it, right? See, like when the more one is thinking that I will, the more the expectation, when the reality dawns, reality will seem to be very harsh. Right? If you sometimes say the reality very harsh. Why the reality seems to be harsh? Because we had undue expectation. When a person doesn't have undue expectation, for him reality will not be harsh. Right? So because usually people have all wrong or undue expectation, and the reality is different, so therefore reality seems to be very harsh. So herein, because Sati expected something, you know, that there will be a great joy, you know, etc. Now when the reality dawns, reality is very harsh. She is unable to tolerate, right? As will be described. Text 9. अरुद्रभागं तमवेक्ष्य चाध्वरम् पित्रा च देवे कृतहेलनं विभो अनाद्रिता यज्ञसदस्यधीश्वरी चुकोपलोकानिव धक्षतीरुषा.
Present in the arena of sacrifice, Sati saw that there were no oblations for her husband, Lord Shiva. Next she realized that not only had her father failed to invite Lord Shiva, but when he saw Lord Shiva's exalted wife, Daksha did not receive her either. Thus she became greatly angry, so much so that she looked at her father as if she were going to burn him with her eyes.
Okay, so now her anger is directed towards father now, right? So Prabhupada says actually it is customary to worship Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu in any sacrifice. But she heard there was no chanting of Nama Shivaya Swaha, right? Prabhupada gives that line. This, no oblation is being offered to Lord Shiva, right? So therefore she felt very sorry, right? She felt very disrespected. Prabhupada says she was not sorry for herself. But she, when she saw her, you know, husband being neglected, therefore she became very sorry, and she became not just sorry because she had such power, she became greatly angry also, right? And therefore she looked with great anger towards her father. Yeah. But now she can feel that, therefore Lord Shiva told that you will not be able to tolerate that insult. Right? There she was not able to tolerate the agony, you know, because there was so much expectation. So Lord Shiva told, you will not be able to tolerate the insult over there, and that's what is happening. That's what Lord Shiva predicted. That, you know, because he's disrespectful, you go there and you will not be respected and you will not be able to tolerate. Right? So what Lord Shiva said is happening. Yeah, so knowingly people enter into danger, right? That's the nature of this world. Because of those expectation of, you know, the great fanfare which was happening in the, right? So people know, but they are unable to act by the knowledge. That's what the Siddhant Bhagatam also, right? It's not that smokers do not know that cigarette smoking causes cancer, you know. There was once a Sri Lanka cabinet, they passed the rule, you know. This is written very small font, it should be increased. You know, people are not able to read that properly. They increase the font of cigarette smoking is injurious for health. And cigarette sales also increased. Right? It didn't come down. Right? So that's how, you know. Just knowledge, just knowing goes into the back of the mind, because there's so much strong expectation to, you know, to enjoy becomes prominent. Right? That knowledge goes into the back of the mind. But when the actual reality dawns, then one realizes. Right? Text 10. जगरह सामर्ष विपन्नया गिरा शिव दिशं धूमपथ श्रमस्मयम् सोतेजसा भूतगणान् समुत्थितान् निग्रह्य देवी जगतो विषण्वतः.
The followers of Lord Shiva, the ghosts, were ready to injure or kill Daksha, but Sati stopped them by her order. She was very angry and sorrowful, and in that mood she began to condemn the process of sacrificial fruitive activities and persons who are very proud of such unnecessary and troublesome sacrifices. She especially condemned her father speaking against him in the presence of all.
Okay, so seeing her angry, the ghost and the yakshas and all the followers of Lord Shiva, they were ready. Their hands were itching, or, you know, already. so they wanted to attack Daksha. So she stopped all of them and she started condemning the process of fruitive activity which her father was engaged in, and her father also. Right? So she spoke condemning words to her father in the presence of all. So Prabhupada says, you see that first of all Prabhupada says how all the sacrifices, they are meant for satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. Right? And if they are performed for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu, they are glorious. The same sacrifice when performed for personal material benefit, they are condemned. Right? So Prabhupada says, such sacrifice, in the 7th or 8th line, such sacrifice are condemned here as labor of love without actual profit. Right? Which Daksha was performing for his personal material fame and profit. And Prabhupada says that Sati's anger is applaudable. Last line, if you see. Thus, Sati's anger against her father was quite applaudable, because one should not tolerate blasphemy or dishonor to Lord Vishnu or Vaishnava. Right? Lord Shiva being a Vaishnava, so Sati's anger is quite applaudable, Prabhupada is saying. Right? So, you know, both the things we are learning. So it's not that, although Sati made a wrong decision, you know, to come, acted against Lord Shiva, that's the mistake. But it's not that a person has committed one mistake and everything is mistaken. Right? So it's not that, you know, either a person is absolutely good or absolutely bad. In this material world, there are always varieties of shades. So therefore, from different perspective, right, we learn different lessons. Right? So now Prabhupada gives another lesson, that because she is not tolerating the insult to her husband with a Vaishnava, that is applaudable. Right? So it's not that if a person has once committed mistake, he cannot do any good. You know, or you know, you label him as such. The tendency in this material world is to label a person, you know, with something that he's independent or he's this or that, you know. If you try to just label and say he will behave like this only. It's not like that. The person may have committed a mistake, the person may still manifest good quality. The person who has good qualities may sometime commit a mistake. Right? So that may happen. Okay, so now she, in next 13 verses, 11 to 23, right, she she condemns Daksha, right, and the process of this furtive activities which is engaged in. There are also a number of important verses in this section, right? This is one of the important sections of this chapter. Divya uvacha nayasya lokyasti atishayana priyas tatha priyo deha britam priyatmana Tasmin samastatmani mukta vairike Hite bhavantam katama pratipayet.
The Blessed Goddess said, Lord Shiva is the most beloved of all living entities. He has no rival. No one is very dear to him and no one is his enemy. No one but you could be envious of such a universal being who is free from all enmity.
So, basically, You have the, can someone give me the, yeah, Subodhini? You can share with somebody, but, right? But you have the, what, Subodhini? No. Yeah, just share with somebody. So if you see, Lord Shiva's five qualities are being described, right? In your Bhaga Subodhini also. And he is Atishayana, Priyastatha Priyo, Priyatmana, right? Who has no superior or rival in the world, of whom no one is dear or inimical, one who is most beloved, Priyatmana, who is the soul of all beings, right? And who is without any enmity, Mukta Vairike. So basically she is saying how this verse saying that you are envious of a completely non-envious person. Right? So that's the sum and substance of this verse as such. And Prabhupada says, because Lord Shiva is the qualitative incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he has almost the same qualities as the Supreme Lord. So at another place, Prabhupada says, Lord Shiva is as good as Lord Vishnu, but not equal to him. Not equal to him. There was another person who said, Prabhupada, but you know, Lord Ram versus Lord Shiva. You know, therefore Shiva is greater. Prabhupada said, yes, that can be accepted, but it's not equal. Because Lord Ram considers his devotees to be greater. Right? That's the nature of the Lord, that he considered his devotees to be greater than himself. That is fine, but you can't equate them. That is Lord magnanimity, that he worships his devotees, he considers them to be great. Right? Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami also says, Krishnera samata haite bada bhaktapad. Actually, for Krishna's perspective, his devotees are greater than him. Right? So like that. So therefore she is saying, Rite Bhavantam Katama Pratipayet. So although Shishi points out, and all the sages, demigods, everyone is assembled, although none of them, you know, although they did not speak, but none of them are envious of Lord Shiva actually, except you. You alone are envious of Lord Shiva. Rite Bhavantam. So therefore, you are envious of a person who is completely non-envious. So what we are going to do is also, in this 13 verses, right, if you see there is a, in your Bhagavad Subodhani, a title is given, right, of each verse. Who except you would hate Lord Shiva, right? That's like this verse is indicating. You, without looking at that, you try to put a one line for each verse, for each 13 verse. Okay, so while we are studying, study carefully, and come out just like I suggested an alternate thing. You know, when I without reading Subodhini, try to think of one line which summarizes the verse. Right? So you are envious of a completely non-envious person. So that's the important lesson of this verse. Right? So you try to rephrase. Okay, so I will ask some of you at the end of this 13, tell me your summary of this verse in one line. Right? One line summary. And the shorter, the more eloquent you are, more marks you get. Right? The shorter the sentence it, that means you grasp the essence of the verse in lesser words. Right? Okay, so 13, now I have given the indication of the first verse, right? How you summarize it. So you have to, while you are studying, or you know, we'll have the time during break also, right? Try to give a short summary in your own words. Right? Go to text 12. Doshan Paresham Higuneshu Sadhavo Gananti Kechin Abhavadhisho Dija Gunam Shafal Gun Bahuli Krishnavo Mahattamasteshu Vidad Bhavanagham.
Twice born Daksha, a man like you can simply find fault in the qualities of others. Lord Shiva, however, not only finds no faults with others' qualities, but if someone has a little good quality, he magnifies it greatly. Unfortunately, you have found fault with such a great soul.
Right. This verse is extremely important. Let's see the construction of the verse. Doshan Paresham Hi Guneshu Sadhavo. The sadhus are those who see that even the faults can have some good utilization. Right? That the faults of the person will actually have some good utilization. Right? Good utility of the fault. Doshan Pareshan Hi Guneshu. They see that this fault actually can be transformed, Vishwanatha Saraswati, into good quality. How the fault can be transformed into good quality? Like for example, someone may have a nature of, you know, chastising nature. You make him security in charge, let him chastise all these people who sleep in the, you know, during the security office hours, duty hours, right? So that fault becomes a good quality service. It gets transformed, right? So there are many, just like Prabhupada also, he saw his disciples have independent mentality. What did Prabhupada do? Prabhupada, they would, in independent mentality, they would not be able to gel with each other. Prabhupada said, okay, you go to Montreal, you go to this place. You know, he would send them to a different city. You open your own center. As soon as two devotees will clash, he would say, you go to another place, you start another center. Right? So in this way, he transformed their fault into good quality. You start another center. Therefore, Prabhupada could start so many centers because they could not cooperate with each other, you know. Doshan pareshan hi guneshu sadhavu. They can transform faults into some good quality. It's not that there is some good service or good utility of the fault. Or the fault is transformed into good quality. Right? So that is sadhavu. That is, those who are sadhus, they see some good utilization of a fault. Right? Gananti keche na bhavadrisho dija. However, you gananti keche na bhavadrisho dija. However, you are not able to see any good. Right? You are not able to accept. Even when the person fault, that fault is accepted as a good quality by sadhus. Because it is transformed. They see some good utilization. Right? However, you are not able to see any good quality in Lord Shiva. Right? Gananti kechin na bhavadrisho bhavan. Right? You are not able to see any good qualities in Lord Shiva, who actually has so many good qualities. Gunamsha falgun bahuli krishnavo. Gunamsha falgun. There may be, what is the nature of now great souls? Gunamsha falgun bahuli krishnavo. They see small good quality and they magnify it. Right? Mahattamasteshu abhidat bhavan. So the nature of Mahatmas is that they see small, good quality and they magnify it. How they magnify it? They encourage that good quality. Just like a small spark can be magnified by fanning. So the great souls can magnify someone's good quality. It may be like a spark, you know, by the words of encouragement. Mahatmasteshu avidat bhavanagham. And you see fault in such great soul as Lord Shiva. Right? So if you see, so Vishwanath Thakur has pointed out that we can study this verse that there are four levels of sadhus and four levels of asadhus. Right? So that is quite interesting study. Right? So sadhu can also be referred to as mahat. Right? Mahat. The word mahat is used in this, mahattamas. The word sadhu is also used, the word mahatma is also used in this verse. Right? So if you see, so mahat, sadhu or a mahat, he is one, he sees some good use of a bad quality. That means he transforms the bad quality into good quality. We already studied. Who is a mahattar, a better, you know, so the four grades. A person who is mahattar, he overlooks bad quality and prays just the good quality. Right? Mahattar. So just like I am giving you one example. There was one lady reporter, she was carrying a bead bag, right? Prabhupada was very impressed, you know, she was lady reporter, Western lady, she's a reporter and she's carrying a bead bag. I said, oh, she's chanting, you know. So Prabhupada appreciated that. But she was very impudent. She said, Prabhupada, I am asking a certain question. I already know the answer. But you just I want to your opinion upon this so that, you know, is the confirmation of it, you know. So like someone talks to spiritual master, I already know the answer, just want to verify, confirm, you know, etc. So the way she was talking, all the devotees wanted to stop her. But Prabhupada said, no, you know, never mind. Prabhupada very patiently answered all her questions, you know, although asked impudently. But Prabhupada just was trying to appreciate that, you know, she chants. She's a reporter, she chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So he overlooked the bad quality and just appreciated the good quality that she has taken up to chanting Hare Krishna. Right? Mahattar, a person who overlooks the fault and just appreciates the good. Right? Then there is a Mahattama, you know, there are who is a greater sadhu. There's a different degrees of quality that are given. Right? All four we can find in examples in Prabhupada's life actually, right? Multiple. So Mahattama is one who sees small good quality and magnify. Right? One who sees small good quality and magnify. So I am giving one example. You all have to find out another example. And we shall have a short skit upon each. You know, there are four levels of sadhus and asadhus. Right? Just like you were showing inattentive chanting, sleeping chanting, Mahavishnu chanting and all that, you know. Like, you were just briefly, one minute. So for like one minute, you have to present, you have to think of one case from either Prabhupada pastime or some other scriptural pastime, whichever, you know. Or from your own experience, some example, whatever. At a person you may have witnessed, example of each person who takes a small good, magnifies it. So, do I leave up to you only or I just give the examples? Okay, I will share after you perform some, you know, some. I have noted few examples, so I am not sharing now, so that probably you may be able to grasp it, right? So, Mahattam is the one who sees a small good quality and try to, I would appreciate if you can remember some past and Prabhupada and enact that very briefly, 1 minute, like 2-3 people may come and enact. So a quality where Prabhupada would see small good quality and magnify it. Right? That is Mahattam. And fourth level is Ati Mahattam, who when there is no good quality, still he sees some good quality. Right? So listen, first is person sees bad quality but sees how it can be transformed to good. That is Mahat. Other is he neglects bad quality, just appreciates the good. That is Mahattar. Third is he sees some good, magnifies it, Mahattam. Ati Mahattam, he sees good where there is none. There is only fault, but he sees some good. Right? He sees good where there is none. Right? So that is Ati Mahattam. So you try to find out four examples in Prabhupada of each. Actually, and just briefly enact it, right? And then she says, so basically, she points out that Lord Shiva in this verse is Ati Mahattam, and you are Ati Asadhu, right? Or Ati Asadhu Tam, Asadhu Tam, right? Ati Asadhuttam. Lord Shiva is Ati Mahattam. Mahattam is superlative. Ati means even more. Right? The fourth. And you are Ati Asadhuttam. Basically, she points out in this verse. Right? So, who is the Asadhu? Who thinks that good quality will transform into bad quality. Right? I'm giving one example. Suppose a new person may have joined. And he may be very enthusiastic in the beginning. And those who are people, you know, who have joined much earlier, lost enthusiasm, they said, after a few years, you know, he'll join our club. He may be enthusiastic, but he will come in our club, you know, kind of. So they feel, you know, this good quality may be there, but it will go away. It will not remain, right? So there are people like that, who are very matured, wise, right? Who have seen the world, they make a prediction. So like that. So that is a sadhu who thinks that, okay, good quality is there, not remain. It will not remain. It will transform into bad. That is a sadhu. Who is a sadhu tar? One who overlooks good quality and see only fault. He overlooks, there is, he just neglects the good quality, just see the fault. That is the opposite of that. It's just the opposite of what we discuss. And who is asadutam? Asadutam, who takes small fault, magnifies it. Right? So you have to find the example. Many such examples exist in the world. And who is atya asadutam? Who sees fault where there is none? Who is able to find out a fault where there is none? Right? Just like who is able to mahattam is one who is able to see good where there is none. It's just the opposite. Just the opposite, if you see 180 degree, that is asadhu, asadhutar, asadhutam, and atya sadhutam. Right? So it's quite good analysis. Right? So different groups should not the same person. So you'll have to divide among yourself, you know. Those who are the best actor, they should perform this. The best team should perform atya sadhutam. Right? So the four negatives should be performed by good actors. Right? So you'll be able to divide yourself. Two people can perform. Right? Or just actually, yeah, we can break for not 10 minutes, but before, so after the break, you perform this four. Right? This four and this four, total eight. Right? So quickly, someone can let's begin with atya sadhutam. Who are the good actors? Okay, you and yourself and no one good actor in one team. You train. You get another person. Choose another partner. So I will give the responsibility to one person. You choose your partner later. Okay. So atya sadhutam by Vijay Krishna Prabhu, right? And asadhutam will be performed by one of another good actor. Okay. And atya sadhu and asadhutar will be performed by Rakshan Krishna Prabhu. Okay, asadhutar. Right? One who overlooks good quality and see the fault. And asadhu who will perform the word asadhu, who thinks good quality will transform into fault. Abhay Gaurang Prabhu will form sadhu. Okay, take it up. Okay, then mahat, see good utility of a bad quality or you volunteer for sadhu. Okay, so mahat or sadhu. Then mahattar will take the responsibility. You can choose one partner, you know, two people can in a conversation or whatever. Mahattar, who overlooks bad quality and praises the good quality. Mahattar or sadhutar. Mahattar. He is already taken. Okay, Amal Gaurang Prabhu. Mahattar. Okay, Mahattam. He sees small good and magnifies. Devhari Prabhu, Mahattam. And Adi Mahattam. Krishna Bhakt Prabhu, chalo. Okay, so you have only 10 minutes today, no time to rest. You have to just, it has to be very short, you know, within 1 minute. You have to just demonstrate some practical example which we may witness in this and some pastime of Prabhupada. Right? In the first four, witness some, if you can recall, some pastime of Prabhupada, right? Those four qualities. And other four negative, some your experience, you know, some people act like sadhus without blaming anybody, right? It's just journal, it should be journal. Okay, so we are breaking for 10 minutes. Please choose a partner if required. Or if even one person wants to perform, there is not much, like, then one person can do. Or two, maximum two people, right? So at 12 we will start, 12 to 12:10 we will complete this, right? And then in next 1 hour we'll be able to complete the chapter. Yeah, scriptural example also, in script, that is the best. See, either for the first four, sadhutar, either Prabhupada's pastime or some scriptural pastime also. And for asadhu also, if you can get some scriptural reference, You know, in scripture also is mentioned some people acting at a sadhu tar. That would be the best, or some in general from your experience. Okay? Hare Krishna. Okay, Hare Krishna. So we have to briefly just one minute, as I said. So you can present it over here, right? And use the cordless microphone. And if you need this one also, please take. Okay? This only cordless, nahi hai? Oh, so this both have cord. Okay, fine. So you use. There are two microphones. So please come, person who is presenting asadhu. First one, who feel that asadhu is one. You only define, right? When you come, you define. We are presenting asadhu, which means what, right? Please come.
So we are presenting a sadhu, that is a person who is who thinks that the good qualities will turn into the faults, maybe. So this is an incidence where here we are going to give comparison between both a sadhu and a sadhu. Both lessons can be learned. So there is one devotee who is chanting. A Chinese devotee is chanting, and we'll see what happens.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hai Hai, Hai Rama, Hai Rama, Rama Rama, Hai Hai.
Hale Krishna, Hale Krishna. ये क्या chanting है क्या? Krishna? अरे भागवत में बोला है Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. ये सब devotees को कुछ पता भी नहीं. We should chant properly. I don't know who is the counselor. I should go and speak with that counselor. Hey, these devotees don't know how to chant also. What do you teach?
Oh, they are not chanting properly. I hope you are a good Sanskrit person. You can stay in our center for 4 months and teach them how to chant Sanskrit.
I'll tell. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Yes.
You also might be knowing that in order to train person spiritually, you should have some good regulated life. So can you give up tea? Can you give up tea and stay with us?
Tea? Ah, that I cannot. I should regularly have tea morning, evening, afternoon and in the night. Otherwise I cannot.
So you can just see their pronunciation is not good, but their renunciation is good. Thank you. So you can see.
Asadhu dhar means that if there is some good quality, we neglect that good quality and then see the fault.
Yasyam vaishnava manayam krishne parama puruse bhakti upadyate
pumam sokam. इतना अच्छा स्लोगा रिसाइटेशन आज तक मैं देखा नहीं. क्या स्लोगा रिसाइटेशन करता है?
यह स्लोगा रिसाइटेशन पोपटवंशी करता है. जब टाइम आएगा ना तब पता चलता है. एप्लीकेशन इंपॉर्टेंट है ब्रो, पोपटवंशी नहीं इंपॉर्टेंट. ये बस पोपटवंशी करता है.
प्रभु जी देखो देखो क्या अच्छे से क्लीनलीनेस एकदम क्लीनलीनेस इंचार्ज बनाना चाहिए. देखो कितना अच्छा झाड़ू मार रहे हैं.
झाड़ू मार रहा है. दो दिन तो धोती कुर्ता धोता नहीं है और धोने को डालता है तो 4 दिन बकेट में ही पड़ा हुआ रहता, सड़ता है और बोलते क्लीन लेने से इंचार बने. ऐसा थोड़ी ना होता है.
प्रसाद लो अभी प्रसाद.
प्रभु जी देखो ना यार कितना सेल्फ कंट्रोल, इतना सा खाता है पता है, एकदम रेगुलेटर खाता है सब.
अरे अभी कम खाएगा बाद में लॉकर में भरा हुआ सब निकलेगा, चकली चूड़ा. इसलिए अभी दिखाने के लिए ऐसा रहता है, बाद में बहुत खाते हैं आपको पता नहीं. बस आपको एक्सपीरियंस प्रैक्टिकल. अरे प्रभु जी देखो क्या जपा कर रहे, एकदम मन लगा कि बिल्कुल सोते नहीं जपा में, इतना अच्छा जपा करते हैं.
ये सोता नहीं है जपा में, रात को 6 घंटा सोता है, फिर क्लास के बाद 2 बजे से लेकर 5 बजे तक सोता है. 8-9 घंटे सोएगा तो कैसे जपा में नींद आएगा इससे. हाँ प्रभु
हरे कृष्ण.
सो वी आर गोइंग टू शो द ड्रामा फॉर असादुतम वेर the small bad quality is magnified to a very large extent. So we are going to show you the pastime of Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj. Hey Brahman, ek saal beet gaye. Oh sorry, English ye kya hai? Okay, English. Okay, English. Very cool. After 1 year I have to break my fast now. So what is the parent timing breakfast? Okay, within 5 minutes I have to break. Fine. Oh, Durvasa Muni, please come, please sit, please sit.
I'll go take bath and come back.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh my Lord, Durvasa Muni has not come yet. Only 15 seconds are remaining. What to do?
टूटेगा भी नहीं और टूट भी जाएगा.
ओह यस इट्स वेरी गुड. गिव मी वन ड्रॉप. ओके आई फाउंड इट. अच्छा कुछ हुआ नहीं था, सॉरी भूल गया मैं. थैंक यू वेरी मच. हरे कृष्ण. सो दी दुर्वासा मुनि ही जस्ट फाउंड दैट वन बैड क्वालिटी एंड मैग्निफाइड इट सो मच दैट ही कर्स्ड अम्बरीश महाराज. हरे कृष्ण.
हरे कृष्णा. सो अति असाधु एज प्रभु सेड ही फाउंड्स फॉल्ट फाइंड्स फॉल्ट वेर देर इज नन. सो दिस इज अ स्मॉल ड्रामा वेर जगन्नाथ रथ यात्रा महाप्रसादम इज गोइंग ऑन एंड आई वुड टेक माय अति असाधु फ्रेंड अलोंग विथ मी इनटू द पंडाल.
हरे कृष्णा. आइए आइए श्री जगन्नाथ रथ यात्रा में आप सभी का स्वागत है. वेलकम टू श्री जगन्नाथ फेस्टिवल रथ यात्रा कार्ड फेस्टिवल. Please, please honor the prasadam. Yes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
yes,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Aye, aye, Prabhuji. Please, please, please come. Hare Krishna,
come.
Hare Krishna,
this is
Hare Krishna.
They are serving
Krishna,
prasadam.
Hare Hare.
See, what is a service attitude?
Yes, lijiye, lijiye, gulab jamun, lijiye, gulab jamun.
Service
Hare Krishna.
All nonsense. They get money from foreign, you know. 90% money in their pocket and 10% for outside Krishna. Publicity, you know. Aye,
please. No, 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 no. It is not like that. Hare, you don't know. You know, this people, they follow such strong renunciation, Brahmacharya Vrat.
I think you are in ignorance.
Yes,
no? Can you see that Brahmachari? See, talking with ladies. This is our external, you know.
You don't know about all them. They are very nice. You know how this movement was started. They did a lot of tapas.
I know better. Did you heard that song? Dhammaro Dham? I have seen it. I have seen the theater.
Hare Krishna.
This movement had started from the LSD and ganja. You know, that's what they do inside.
No, no, you are ati asadutam. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So our topic is Mahat. Mahat means one who sees fault and try to transform it. So we will enact the pastime of Juhu temple where devotee, his name is Haridas Prabhu, who was previously a thief. And so he was having a habit of stealing in the night. So that will be transformed by Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. So Hare Krishna. Hare, what to do? All the devotees have slept. Just let me search if somebody is awake. He is snoring.
King Daksha is addressed here by
everybody
his daughter
is sleeping.
Sati as a dvija.
What to do?
Twice born. Twice born refers to the higher classes of men. Namely,
what to do every day from last so many months. I'm not getting sleep and I'm not getting any company. I think I should go to my thief friends and I should associate with them in the night. Again, I'll come back in the morning to the temple. Let me ask Srila Prabhupada what he says about this.
Understand the logic and philosophy. Yes, who is there?
Srila Prabhupada, Haridas Das.
Yes, Haridas, how are you?
Prabhupada, I wanted to ask something to you.
Yeah, please.
Prabhupada, since I was a thief previously, I used to steal whole night and I was not sleeping. So here I see the all devotees are sleeping, but unfortunately I'm not getting sleep only. So I was thinking, during night if I go and associate with my previous thief friend, so that I will not get frustrated.
That is the problem. I have one service for you. Actually, when I'm translating, then many times these dogs, they bark so loudly that in the transcription, our devotees, they feel a lot of problems. So you can just chase away these dogs. And then you will be whole night awake and you will do a great service.
Thank you so much, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. The Shadutar or Mahottara means that who just neglect the bad quality, then try to glorify the good quality or appreciate other. So sometimes you see that in first time of Srila Prabhupada, so many mothers or friends come to Prabhupada to complain about them, about the son. So how did Srila Prabhupada act, you'll see. So I'm acting as a mother of a brahmachari, then he's the Srila Prabhupada, so you'll see what has happened. Swamiji, what are you doing? Why did you bring my son to the temple? He might be a good politician, he might be a great businessman, he's a very good, intelligent boy among all of my sons. But you bring my boy to the temple. What are you doing, Swamiji? Why are you doing so?
If your son has so much nice qualities, then it means it must have, her mother also have so much nice qualities. So it is good that your son is nice qualities are engaged in the Krishna service.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Haribol, Haribol, somebody can bring prasadam for Mataji.
So you can see that Srila Prabhupada, he just ignored the bad quality, that complaining about the friends, but he just appreciated the mother. Then mother became devotee. She became very pleased with Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
So we are going to enact the Mahattam. There is one pastime of Srila Prabhupada, that one hippie comes and he keeps toilet paper in toilet. So we'll perform that. Hare Krishna.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Dehino spin yatha dehe kumaram yovanam jara tatha dehantara praptir dhirastatra muhyati. So we are not this body. We are going to change. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So we can see this young gentleman, although he was so much intoxicated in LSD and marijuana, whatever, but he had such a nice inclination of serving, so he kept toilet paper. Huh? So we should also engage our this service attitude in Krishna's service. And this way we can go near to Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Ati Mahatama, which means that sees the good even if there is
none.
If there is no good, even in that situation sees the good. So we are enacting pastime in which Maharaj Yudhishthira and Dhritarashtra, and Maharaj Yudhishthira comes every day to pay obeisance to Dhritarashtra.
Performing the whole daily routines, morning bath and everything, Maharaj Yudhishthira comes to Dhritarashtra to pay obeisances, respect to the elders. Food and everything has been served. Now the second day, Maharaj Yudhishthira again comes. But unfortunately, he does not find. Oh, where is my uncle has gone? Who, when my father departed, has taken care of us? Where is my aunt gone? Where, when we were alone, homeless, they gave us shelter? I am so ungrateful. I am offended him by killing all of his sons. And this way, my uncle has went away. Whether they have drawn in the Ganges or what happened to them. So this all Maharaj Yudhishthira inquires, where he sees so many things in Dhritarashtra. And the second thing is?
Second pastime is when Prabhupada saw the hippies. Then he saw the police, even the parents, they lost all hopes from the hippies. They were all intoxicated, left all the responsibilities. But then when Prabhupada saw the potential in them to become devotees, and he gave them his shelter and his love. So that is another example of Ati Mahatma. He saw good in hippies where there is no good quality.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, so thank you all for erecting and demonstrating qualities of sadhu and asadhu to different degrees, right? So, oh, actually, I just kept my book over there, next table. So, if you see Prabhupada in the purport of this verse, he gives the example of Lord Shiva as Ati Mahatma in his giving benediction to Vrikrasur, right? Vrikrasur. He who asked the benediction that if I put hand on someone's head, right? He was Vrikrasur only, na? Not Vrikrasur. Vrikasur. Vrikasur. Right? So, yeah. Prabhupada doesn't give the name, but he says that how Lord Shiva, although Vrikasur, he only had a malicious intent. But Lord Shiva said, oh, you know, he is worshipping me. And, you know, Lord Shiva became satisfied, you know, by such a demoniac person. Although we see that example in the context of, you know, that Lord Shiva made a mistake. And even Krishna said, you should not give benediction to such people, you know, Krishna had to come to save. But that example Prabhupada uses is to show that Lord Shiva is Ati Mahatma. That he even saw this total malicious demon to have the good, some good intention, you know, some good quality that he wants to please and satisfy me. Right? And he awarded that benediction to Vrikasur. Right? So basically, so therefore, Doshan Paresham hi Guneshu Sadhavo Gunanti Kechin Nabhavadrisho Dija. That she glorified that Lord Shiva is actually having the quality of a Ate Sadhutam. Right? Actually, in one sense, one will have quality of Ate Sadhutam, he has other qualities also of Sadhu. Tam, sadhu, tar, and sadhu, right? And she says, and you are atte asadu tam, right? You, because you see fault in Lord Shiva where there is none, right? So in this way, Mother Sati, she criticizes her father. Go to text 13. Nascharyame tad yad satsu sarvada mahadvininda kunupatma vadishu sirsham mahapurushapadapam subir nirastateja sutadeva shobhanam.
It is not wonderful for persons who have accepted the transient material body as the self to engage always in deriding great souls. Such envy on the part of materialistic persons is very good, because that is the way they fall down. They are diminished by the dust of the feet of great personalities.
Okay, so again she says, Nascharya Metad. This is, you are seeing fault with Lord Shiva, is not astonishing. Na ascharya method. Yad asatsu sarvada. Those who are asatsu, evil minded, mahatvininda, they always deride. Right? They always deride great souls. So, and they are known as kunupatmavadishu. Right? Kunup means this corpse like body. Right? There is a verse in 10th canto, 10.84.13. Yasya atma buddhi kunupetri dhatuke. Prabhupada will, next purpose, in next one of the two purports, Prabhupada will quote the translation of that verse also. Kunupetri dhatuke. Right? That one who considers this corpse-like body to be self, he is most foolish. Right? So therefore, those who kunup atmavadishu, those who proclaim this body to be self, kunup atmavadishu. Right? What is astonishing if they are criticizing, right, great personality Lord Shiva? That means she is saying materialistic people always criticize great souls, great devotees. Right? Shirasya Mahapurusha Padapam Subhir Nirastate Jasu Tadeva Shobhanam. And she is saying that actually such envy on part of materialistic person is very good, because that is the way they fall down. We say, what is the meaning of this? Vishwanath Thakur rephrases, he said, the glorious result of such criticism is that they fall down. The glorious result of such criticism is that they fall down. Right? So therefore, what is the, there is a sarcasm over here. Right? That you will achieve the glorious result of your criticism. Right? Which will be fall down. Right? So understand, he said, okay, you are doing very good. Like something does something wrong, you may say you are doing very good, which you will realize the result of falling down. So that very good is a sarcastic remark. Okay, so Prabhupada says, he says everything depends upon the strength of the recipient. Right? So the nirastatejasu tadeva shobhanam. So first of all saying, mahapurusha pada pamsu bhir nirastatejasu. You will be diminished, right? All your good qualities, your life, everything will be diminished by the dust of the lotus feet of great personality like Lord Shiva. Because of this attitude, the dust of the lotus feet of Lord Shiva will diminish all your good qualities. So Prabhupada is saying, actually, Prabhupada quotes the verse contrasted with Mahiya Sampadra Jobhishekham, right? Fifth canto verse by Jadbharat, right? Rahu Ganata Tapasana Yati, previously also. This is a very important verse where it's mentioned that Mahiyasam Padra Jobhishekam, that one can make great spiritual progress, or Prabhupada says the real effect is brought by the dust of the lotus feet, right? Real spiritual advancement. But here it says the dust of the lotus feet of the great souls will diminish all your good qualities or teja. Right? So Prabhupada says everything depends on the strength of the recipient. Some vegetables or flowers may wither in the sunshine, some may flourish in the sunshine. So by the dust of the lotus feet of Vaishnavas, some people may wither away if they have offensive attitude. And if they have service attitude, they may flourish. So therefore, it depends upon the strength of the recipient, Prabhupada says. Right? So that point is important over here, which Prabhupada makes. And another point Prabhupada brings is, those who are offenders, this is the sixth line, those who are offenders at the lotus feet of a great personality dry up. Their godly qualities diminish. A great soul may forgive offenses, but Krishna does not excuse offenses to the dust of the great soul's feet. Just as one tolerates the scorching sunshine on one's head, but cannot tolerate the scorching sunshine on one's feet. Right? Like you have experience on walking on a hot granite. You can tolerate the heat on the head, but can't tolerate on the feet. So what does it mean? Krishna cannot tolerate the offense towards his devotees. He can tolerate offense towards him. Devotees are situated at his lotus feet. So although a devotee, he can tolerate the offense. Right? A devotee may tolerate the offense he is committed to him, but Krishna doesn't tolerate. Prabhupada says, a person may tolerate scorching heat on the head, but not at the feet. You're getting this example. So Krishna doesn't tolerate the offense towards devotees. Right? There is a verse in Anta Leela also, which says, Bhakta Svabhava Agya Dosha Shama Kare, Krishna Svabhava Bhakta Ninda Sahite Na Pare. Right? What a devotee's Svabhava is, Agya Dosha Shama Kare, Krishna Svabhava Bhakta Ninda Sahite Na Pare. This is in relation with Haridas Thakur. He forgave that Mazumdar at the house of, but Krishna took that offense very seriously. He got leprosy, his nose melted away due to leprosy in that context. Anta Leela 3.213 verse. 213. Text 14. Yadyaksharam namagire ritam ninam sakrit prasangadagamashuhantitat pavitra kirtim tamalangya shasanam bhavan ho dveshti shivam shivetara.
Sati continued, my dear father, you are committing the greatest offense by envying Lord Shiva, whose very name consisting of two syllables, si and va, purifies one of all sinful activities. His order is never neglected. Lord Shiva is always pure, and no one but you envies him.
Okay, so she is saying, he is all auspicious, and you are envying the all auspicious person, right? Shiva means all auspicious. All sins are destroyed by chanting his name. So, he is so auspicious, and you are envying him. Right? How can there be anything auspicious for you? Right? Therefore, you are Shivetara, you are most inauspicious, right? Because you are envying Lord Shiva. So Prabhupada describes, Prabhupada says, Shiva is very auspicious, second line, Shiva is very auspicious for persons who identify the body with the soul. If such person takes shelter of Shiva, gradually they will understand they are not the material body but are spirit soul. Shiva means Mangala or auspicious. Within the body, the soul is auspicious. Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman. This realization is auspicious. So therefore, those who worship Lord Shiva, right, they will gradually come to the understanding that we are not this body, we are the spirit souls. Right? They will gradually come to this understanding of Aham Brahmasmi. Therefore, that is auspicious understanding Prabhupada is saying. Right? So, but again Prabhupada says, Shiva means auspicious, right? If you see a few lines ahead, and devotees of Lord Shiva gradually come to the platform of spiritual identification. But that is not all. Right? But that is not all, that one has to further progress. And one should realize one's relation with the Supreme Lord. Right? So, basically then Prabhupada says that how, if the people are intelligent, they will not stop at Aham Brahmasmi. They will see that Lord Shiva himself meditate on right? Lord Vasudev. And Prabhupada quotes, Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. Thus, important line is, Prabhupada says, thus, the auspicious position of Lord Shiva is realized if one takes to the worship of Vishnu, because Lord Shiva says in Shiva Puran that the topmost worship is worship of Lord Vishnu. Right? So, basically the important point is, the auspicious position of Lord Shiva is realized only by Vaishnavas. The true glory of Lord Shiva is understood by Vaishnavas. Those who worship Lord Shiva the Supreme, they actually minimize his position. They don't know his glorious position. Worshippers of Vishnu actually know glorious position of Lord Shiva much more than Lord Shiva's own worshippers. They actually minimize his position. Prabhupada writes one point. Right? So when you understand that he is the topmost devotee, that is very high position as we discussed. Right? Krishnera samvata haite bada bhaktapad. So therefore, the Vaishnavas understand the exalted position of Lord Shiva. Those who say Lord Shiva is supreme, calling a servant as a master minimizes the position. Right? But calling someone as a servant of Krishna glorifies his position. That is the Vaishnava understanding. So therefore, Vaishnavas actually truly glorify Lord Shiva much more than worshipper of Lord Shiva. Text 15. Yat pada padmam mahatam manolibhir nishevitam brahmaras rasasvatartibhi lokasya yadvarshati chashishorthinas tasme bhavan druhyati vishvabandhave.
You are envious of Lord Shiva, who is the friend of all living entities within the three worlds. For the common man, he fulfills all desires, and because of their engagement in thinking of his lotus feet, he also blesses higher personalities who are seeking after Brahmananda, transcendental bliss.
Okay, so she describes that how Lord Shiva, he not just gives to common people he does not just fulfill their material desires, but those who are little intelligent than them, higher personalities, those who think of his lotus feet, he gives them Brahmananda, salvation. Right? So therefore, he is the friend of even the common materialist as well as little higher personalities who seek liberation. Right? Who seeks Brahmananda. And Prabhupada says, if you see, Prabhupada says, Lord Shiva is even the friend of the Vaishnavas, which is although not mentioned here, which can be understood that those who are higher personality mentioned, in that category the highest are also included. Those who seek devotional service, Lord Shiva is even the friend of those. So Lord Shiva is the friend of the materialistic people, the friend of those who seek Brahman, the bliss of Brahman, and he is the friend of those who seek the service to the Krishna. He helps them, right? As we will see in the fourth canto of the Rudra Geet. So that is being pointed over here in this verse. And you are envious of such a personality who is a friend to all. Right? So that is, you know, how foolish Daksha is. That is being pointed out. Just see, you know, you're envying the most auspicious personality. How can there be anything auspicious? And you are become envious of the person who is friendly to all classes of, you know, people. Either they are materialist or transcendentalist. Right? Go to text 16. Kim va shivakhyam hai? Kim va shivakhyam ashivam navidustadanne? Kamashivam navi Brahma dayastam avikirya jatash shamshane dashmshane tanmalya bhasma narakapalya avasat pishachar ye murdhabhir dadati tacharana vasishtam.
Do you think that greater, more respectable personalities than you, such as Lord Brahma, do not know this inauspicious person who goes under the name Lord Shiva. He associates with the demons in the crematorium. His locks of hair are scattered all over his body. He is garlanded with human skulls and smeared with ashes from the crematorium. But in spite of all these inauspicious qualities, great personalities like Brahma honor him by accepting the flowers offered to his lotus feet and placing them with great respect on their heads.
Okay, so now she is addressing Daksha's accusation made in the second chapter, where he says he is so inauspicious, he wears the skulls, right? He criticizes, Daksha criticizes Lord Shiva, wearing crematorium ashes and the garland of skulls, not following any rules and regulation, right? So therefore she refutes by saying, looks like only you know Lord Shiva and others, respectable personality like Brahma, right? Looks like they don't know. Since they are worshipping, what is the answer for Lord Brahma and other great sages? They take the dust from his lotus feet, right? Or Prabhupada says, they take the flower offered to his feet and off, put on their head, right? Tacharanava system. It could be the dust, it could be the water, it could be the flower offered to him. Whatever is, you know, from Lord Shiva lotus feet, they accept on their head. The remnants of Lord Shiva lotus feet, they accept on their head. So she is sarcastically saying, looks like you only know Lord Shiva. Those who take dust of his feet, they are in ignorance since they take the dust of his feet. Right? They do not know who is Lord Shiva. So basically she is answering that how is it that this great personality take the dust of his lotus feet if he is inauspicious as per your calculation, right? So basically the point she is making is, although appearing to be inauspicious, Lord Shiva is most worshipable, right? So Prabhupada says, you see in the 8th or 10th line, first of all, I'll read from the 7th line of the purport. Although he appears inauspicious, why do personality like Brahma respect the dust of his feet and place on their heads with great respect those very garlands which are condemned by you? Since Sati was a chaste woman and the wife of Lord Shiva, it was her duty to establish the elevated position of Lord Shiva, not only by sentiment but by facts. Okay, Prabhupada gives another thing. She did not just want to participate in the festivity, that was external reason, and we drew many external lessons. But she wanted to come to the house of Daksha because she wanted to defend Lord Shiva's, what she knew her father had accused Lord Shiva. She wanted to come and defend Lord Shiva's position. So Prabhupada says in the last 6-7 lines, this is very insightful. Someone can read the last 6-7 lines. She did not come to her father's house. Starting from there, last 6-7 lines.
She did not actually come to her father's house to participate in the function. Although before coming, she pleaded with her husband that she wanted to see her sisters and her mother. That was a plea only, for actually at heart she maintained the idea that she would convince her father, Daksha, that it was useless to continue being envious of Lord Shiva. That was her main purpose. When she was unable to convince her father, she gave up the body he had given her, as will be seen in the following verses.
Okay. So that's an insightful thing, that it was not just her, there was external reason she gave, that he wanted to participate in the festivities and all that. Right? She wanted to come and defend Lord Shiva's position, which was earlier also minimized by Daksha. This time also he minimized his position by not inviting and arranging oblations to Lord Shiva. Text 17. Karano pidhaya nirayad yadakalpa ishe dharma vitaryashini bhir nirbhirasyamane Chindyat prasaya rushatim asatim prabhuschet. Jivam asuna pitato visrajet sadharma.
Sati continued, if one hears an irresponsible person blaspheme the master and controller of religion, one should block his ears and go away if unable to punish him. But if one is able to kill, then one should by force cut out the blasphemer's tongue and kill the offender, and after that one should give up his own life.
Okay, so now Prabhupada points out, and Vishwanath Thakur also points out, that Daksha may say, you know, why are you not acting as sadhu tar, neglecting my fault, you should see good in me, right? So she says, I'm not killing you, I'm only criticizing you. You should actually deserve to be killed. So like that, you know. So that is the kind of reply she is giving. And Prabhupada says, now the various things are mentioned over here. One should run away, one can cut the tongue, or one can kill himself, right? So this is for different people, right? So Prabhupada describes, if you see in the middle of the purport, the instruction set forth here is, right? The essential instruction of this verse is, one should not tolerate at any cost the activities of a person who vilifies or blasphemes an authority. If one is a Brahmana, he should not give up his body, because by doing so he would be responsible for killing a Brahmana. Therefore, a Brahmana should leave the place or block his ear. That for Brahmana especially, he should run away blocking his ears. Right? He should not kill himself. And he cannot even kill that aggressor, because he doesn't have the power to punish, you know. Secondly, if one happens to be a Brahmana is supposed to practice tolerance and other things, in any case, for a Brahmana it is recommended that he should run away, primarily. And if one happens to be a Kshatriya, he has the power to punish any man. Therefore, a Kshatriya should advance, cut the tongue of the vilifier and kill him. So Kshatriya should kill him. But as far as the Vaishyas and Shudras are concerned, they should immediately give up their bodies. Right? Because they don't have the right to punish, or they don't have the power to punish, has been described. So therefore, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Shudras and Vaishyas are enjoined to act in a different ways. Huh? Brahmana should run away. He should not kill himself, and Brahmana, because he will lose his Brahmanical powers by killing. So it is not duty to as such punish. Therefore, if you see it, traditionally Brahmanas would approach Kshatriyas to, even though they may have power, some Brahmanas, they would approach Kshatriya to punish. Because Kshatriya has been enjoined to punish.
This is also mentioned somewhere that in argument, if he is not able to defeat, then he can run away.
If by argument a person can defeat, he can defeat. That's at another place that is also mentioned. Right? Go to text 18. So therefore, Prabhupada describes, therefore because Sati, she speaks this verse, and Sati because she says, because she is in the category of last, you know, Striya Vaishyas Tada Shudras, right? So Shudras and Vaishyas are supposed to kill themselves. Therefore, she places herself in that category, and this also indicates that she decides to give up her body herself, because as a result of hearing Lord Shiva's blasphemy, right? So she will give up her body, as per this scriptural injunction. Text 18. Atastavotpannamidam kalevaram nadharishyeshiti kantagarhina jagadhasya mohadivishuddhi mandhaso Yugupsitasya Udharanam Prachakshate.
Therefore, I shall no longer bear this unworthy body which has been received from you, who have blasphemed Lord Shiva. If someone has taken food which is poisonous, the best treatment is to vomit.
Okay, so she feels that her body has been poisoned by the insults of Lord Shiva, right? By seeing that Lord Shiva is being insulted, right? So therefore she says, better vomit out the poison, or in this case it means giving up the body, because the body has been contaminated, right? And Prabhupada says, she could actually have killed Daksha by her powers. She is a Durga personified. But she thought her husband will be blamed that, oh, the husband used, you know, his wife to kill and punish. You know? So therefore, in order not to be, Lord Shiva not to be blamed, she decided to give up her own body rather than punishing Daksha. Na veda vadan anuvartate mati. So eva loke ramato mahamune. Yathagatir deva manushyo prithak. Sa eva dharme na param shpesthita.
It is better to execute one's own occupational duty than to criticize others. Elevated transcendentalist may sometimes forego the rules and regulations of the Vedas, since they do not need to follow them, just as the demigods travel in space, whereas ordinary men travel on the surface of the earth.
Okay, so now she responds to another of Daksha's accusation. Right? Earlier she responded to Daksha's accusation, he may seem to be inauspicious, what about the great people who worship him? Right? Daksha is accused, he has all, you know, impure things he is wearing and all those things. Now, and Daksha, another accusation of Daksha was in 4.2.13. Right? 4.2.13. So now, in this verse, she is responding to that accusation, where he accused that, you know, Lord Shiva doesn't follow any Vedic rules and regulations. Right? So therefore, she says, it is better to execute one's own occupational duty than to criticize others. Elevated transcendentalist. The first advice is for Daksha. Better to follow own transcendental than to criticize others. Elevated transcendental may sometimes forego the rules and regulations of the Vedas, since they do not need to follow them. Right? So she says, basically, and she gives the example, the path of demigods is different from the path of humans. Right? So basically, if someone criticizes the demigods, oh, he didn't stop at the traffic light, you know, his path is different. You have to stop at the traffic light. You know, devatas don't have to. Even if they're passing by that route from the sky, you know, so one should not criticize, why didn't he stop at the traffic light? You know, demigods, he's going by a different path. Right? So that example is given to show that the path of Lord Shiva, who is actually transcendental to all these Vedic rules and regulation, better you follow that path and not criticize Lord Shiva, who has a different path. Got the message of this verse? Text 20. Karma pravittam chanavrittam apritam pravittam chanavrittam apritam vede vivichyo bhayalingam ashritam viroditad yoga padayaka kartari toyam tatha brahmani karma narchati.
In the Vedas, there are directions for two kinds of activities. Activities for those who are attached to material enjoyment and activities for those who are materially detached. In consideration of these two kinds of activities, there are two kinds of people who have different symptoms. If one wants to see two kinds of activities in one person, that is contradictory. But both kinds of activities may be neglected by a person who is transcendentally situated.
Okay, so now continuing, the 19 and 20 together is refuting the accusation, Lord Shiva doesn't follow rules and regulations. So she says, first of all, he's a different path. Now she says, in scripture there are rules and regulations for pravritti marg and nivritti marg, path of attachment and path of detachment. So she's saying, if someone wants to follow both the path, he says, no, I want to path of attachment also, detachment also. So that is contrary. Prabhupada says, Prabhupada gives example, householder and sannyasi. And if someone says, there is, I am a householder sannyasi, he said, no, that is contrary. You know, you can't be householder sannyasi. Right? That is contrary to Vedic regulation. But one can transcend both paths. That is acceptable. One may be able to transcend. One may neglect both the paths and just be engaged in Krishna service. Getting the point? So therefore, just like Prabhupada said, we are neither vegetarians nor non-vegetarians as such. We are Krishnatarians. We are acting for His pleasure. They are transcendental. Right? So the prasadam is transcendental to both vegetarian and non-vegetarianism. So non-vegetarian people who eat, you know, they may be asked as Sipravitti Mar, in one sense. I'm just giving a small parallel. Not that. And those who are vegetarian, okay, say they refrain from non-veg, right? So therefore, they may be following in terms of food, Nivritti Mar. But devotees that can be transcendental, both they only honor Krishna Prasad. Right? But Nivritti Marg is closer to that Marg which you're talking of, which is the transcendental path. So Lord Shiva being absorbed in the thoughts of Vasudeva, Prabhupada describes he is transcendental to both the Privritti and Vritti mark. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, at that sense, we accept and we reject, right? So that as such, we take the principle which are favorable out of the two. As such, we are not exactly following Privritti and Vritti Marg. We follow the path of devotional service, which accepts the good. Right? Devotional service, just like we don't follow the path of karma and jnana, but we accept favorable karma and the favorable jnana. Right? So it's so similar. Yes, we accept the favorable things which can be utilized in Krishna service and we reject unfavorable things. Right? So we follow the favorable pravritti and the favorable vritti mark as such. Text 21. Mava padavya pitaras madastita ya yagyashala sunadhuma vartmabhi tadanna triptair ashubhrihad viridita avyakta linga avadhuta sevita.
My dear father, the opulence we possess is impossible for either you or your flatterers to imagine. For persons who engage in fruitive activities by performing great sacrifices are concerned with satisfying their bodily necessities by eating foodstuff offered as a sacrifice. We can exhibit our opulences simply by desiring to do so. This can be achieved only by great personalities who are renounced, self-realized souls.
Okay, so therefore, Daksha has been thinking, you know, my daughter is living with a poor beggar, you know, who has no... So he was very proud of his opulences. So therefore, she is pointing out that our opulences that... You know, opulences of Lord Shiva, which I am sharing, you can't even imagine those opulences. The opulences of transcendentalists are unimaginable by those who are materialists. Right? So, and those opulences are avyaktalinga. Right? Avyaktalinga. Avyakta means they are not manifest. So, just even the case of Maharaj Ambarish also, what is opulence? Sudarshan Chakra is always protecting him. He's not visible, but Sudarshan Chakra is always protecting him, right? Where is the opulence of materialist? They will be just thrashed on by some car, will, you know, kind of, you got getting the point, they will be, any time they are subject to be destroyed by the Kala, right? But Sudarshan Chakra always protects. That is avyakta opulence. So therefore, she's saying the opulence of transcendentalist, right, where they have a personal protection of the Lord, right? Those devotees, like pure devotees like Lord Shiva, they're always protected by the Lord. They have much greater opulences, and another spiritual opulences in terms of the spiritual bliss which they feel at every moment, that opulence. Right? So in this way, there are many avyakt opulences of devotees which far supersede the opulence of materialists. Although materialists may consider devotees to be like beggars. So that was the calculation of Daksha. Right? So she points out. As Prabhupada says in the last paragraph, second line, Sati wanted to impress upon her father that he should not think her husband to be without opulence. Sati, being the devoted wife of Lord Shiva, offer all kind of material opulences to worshipper of Lord Shiva. Text 22. Naitena dehena hare kritagaso. Dehodbhavenalamalam kujanmana. Bhavenalamalam kujanmana. Vrida mama bhuta kujan prasangatas. Tajan madhigyo mahatama vadhyakred.
You are an offender at the lotus feet of Lord Shiva, and unfortunately, I have a body produced from yours. I am very much ashamed of our bodily relationship, and I condemn myself because my body is contaminated by a relationship with a person who is an offender at the lotus feet of the greatest personality.
Okay, so tajjanma dhigyo mahatam avadhyakrit. Sir, I condemn my body with a relationship with a person who is an offender to mahatam. Right. Text 23. The last in the series of these verses. Gotram tudiyam bhagavan vrishadhujo. Dakshanitiyahaya dasudurmana. Vapetanarma smitamashu tadaham. Vitsraksha etat kunupam tadangajam.
Because of our family relationship, when Lord Shiva addresses me as Dakshayani, I at once become morose and my jolliness and my smile at once disappear. I feel very much sorry that my body, which is just like a bag, has been produced by you. I shall therefore give it up.
Right. So sometimes Lord Shiva, after the Daksha had criticized Lord Shiva, he was envious. Right, that past incident, after that, or even before that, he was envious. It was known, you know, from the very beginning he had maintained enmity. So anytime Lord Shiva would call her, oh, daughter of Daksha, she would feel morose that, you know, she has that connection. Therefore, she wanted to sever that connection. Okay, read the translation.
Maitreya, the sage, told Vidura, oh, annihilator of enemies. While thus speaking to her father in the arena of sacrifice, Sati sat down on the ground and faced north. Dressed in saffron garments, she sanctified herself with water and closed her eyes to absorb herself in the process of mystic yoga.
Okay, so Prabhupada says it is said that a person, when he wants to give up his body, he dresses in saffron garments. Right? So this. Okay, so kind of saffron also in detachment, you know, he wants to be detached from all as such. So therefore she changed her, desiring to give up the body, she changed to saffron dress to give up her body. Right. So also Prabhupada says, because Lord Shiva is Yogeshwar and she is the wife, so she also had all the yogic powers. Right. So by yogic power, as we shall see, she gives up her body. Go ahead, read the translation.
First of all, she sat in the required sitting posture, and then she carried the life air upwards and placed it in the position of equilibrium near the navel. Then she raised her life air, mixed with intelligence, to the heart, and then gradually towards the pulmonary passage, and from there to between her eyebrows.
Right. So, you know all this yogic procedure, you already studied how the yogis, they raise through the chakras, they take their life airs. So that's how, you know, she also knew that procedure and she did that. Right?
Thus, in order to give up her
body.
But
Prabhupada makes one important observation. Prabhupada says, actually, again Prabhupada talks about yoga. He said, yoga is actually not meant to keep the body fit. He said, byproduct of any spiritual path is the body remains fit, Prabhupada says. Right? If you see this is the 8th or 9th last line. Any spiritual process keeps the body fit without separate endeavor. But if one takes it, that the ultimate aim of yoga is to maintain the body, then it is mistaken. Any spiritual path properly followed will help to keep the body fit anyway, Prabhupada is saying. So one should not take that to be the goal. Right? That's the important point. It's like Prabhupada also said, one who hears the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra previously also, carefully, he also develops good in health. And Prabhupada gives the example, his Western devotees, hippies, like, you know, when they start chanting, they look right effulgent like that. Prabhupada talks about that. 26. Yes, read the translation.
Thus, in order to give up her body, which had been so respectfully and affectionately seated on the lap of Lord Shiva, who is worshipped by great sages and saints, Sati, due to anger towards her father, began to meditate on the fiery air within the body.
Okay, so she was not ordinary lady. She was a great wife of the great husband, Lord Shiva. And I said she used to receive, this body which she gave up, Lord Shiva was very affectionate. He used to make Sati sit on his lap, right? So therefore she was very fortunate. It was not, you know, condemned. You know, she was very, Lord Shiva was very affectionate to her. But she gave up this exalted body just to set a good example, and Prabhupada says over here. Right? So Prabhupada says, she gave up the body because it was connected to the great offender of her husband. This, the fifth line, this severe example set by Sati is to be followed, Prabhupada is saying. One should be, what is the example followed? That one should be very careful, not exactly, you know, imitation way, but one should be very careful about associating with persons who are not respectful to higher authorities. And here means those who are spiritual, so the spiritual elevated people, those who offend those, one should not associate, one should be very, very careful, right? Extremely careful, right? So Sati shows, she felt herself so contaminated, she gave up her exalted body actually, right, which was object of affection from Lord Shiva. That's how, you know, careful one should be, that one has become, one should know that by hearing or by associating with person who are blasphemers, one is committing a very, very severe offense. So one should be extremely careful, right? So therefore she took up this step to which Prabhupada said should be followed by all, right, in terms of its principle. Go to text 27, read.
Sati concentrated all her meditation on the holy lotus feet of her husband, Lord Shiva, who is the supreme spiritual master of all the world. Thus, she became completely cleansed of all taints of sin and quit her body in a blazing fire by meditation on the fiery elements.
Okay, so now Prabhupada says she quitted her body in a yogic way, but it's not that she attained the destination of yogi, the spiritual world. She quitted in that way, but she herself wants to take another body to associate with Lord Shiva without having this fault, right? Without this contamination, which is the relationship between her and Daksha. So Prabhupada says, see the fourth line, she derived such pleasure, right? She meditated on Lord Shiva and derived pleasure. She derived such great pleasure that she forgot everything in relationship with her body. This pleasure was certainly material because she gave up her body for another body that was also material. But by this example, we can appreciate the devotee's pleasure in concentrating his mind and attention on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. If you extrapolate this example, that when the devotee concentrates his mind on Lord Vishnu, he derived transcendental pleasure. But her pleasure was material. Right? If that material pleasure can make her forget everything about her body, Prabhupada saying how much that the devotee can forget everything about the bodily, you know, disturbances, bodily pains and pleasure, by meditating on Krishna's lotus feet. And then Prabhupada gives a very beautiful term. You see, this is somewhere in the middle of the first paragraph. Can someone read this 4 or 5 lines? The purport is that, this is middle of the paragraph. The purport is that.
The purport is that when one becomes free from all bodily relationships within this material world and simply places himself in the position of an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord, it is to be understood that all the contamination of his material attachment has been burned by the blazing fires of transcendental ecstasy.
That's here only, yeah. Right, so Prabhupada draws a beautiful lesson that just like Sati burned her all material contamination, right, in this way, devotees can all burn their material contamination by the blazing fire of transcendental ecstasy. Right? Such a beautiful phrase. The blazing fire of transcendental ecstasy. And few times Prabhupada used also, had also Prabhupada used this word, the blazing fire of transcendental ecstasy. Okay? So devotees, by remembering Krishna, serving, chanting, hearing, they can burn all contamination by this blazing fire. Yes, go ahead.
It is not necessary for one to manifest a blazing fire externally, for if one forgets all his body relationships.
No, you're reading next translation.
Sorry.
No problem, yeah. Go ahead, read that next translation, 28.
When Sati annihilated her body in anger, there was a tumultuous roar all over the universe. Why had Sati, the wife of the most respectable demigod, Lord Shiva, quit her body in such a manner?
So Prabhupada says there was a great roar that people were discussing that why should she, your body, she was the daughter of the greatest of the kings, Daksha. She was the wife of the greatest of, you know, the devatas, right? Why she, so this, Prabhupada gives again a very beautiful lesson. So Prabhupada says, this was astonishing, right? She gave the body, there was a loss. Then Prabhupada says, one cannot attain, this is the seventh line, one cannot attain complete satisfaction even if one is situated in the greatest material opulence. Right? There was nothing Sati could not achieve either from her relationship with her father or from relationship with the greatest of the demigods. Right? The greatest king is the father, greatest demigod is husband. Still she had to give up body in dissatisfaction. Right? One cannot obtain complete satisfaction even if one is situated in the greatest material opulence. Right? That is an important lesson. Okay. Read the next.
It was astonishing that Daksha, who was Prajapati, the maintainer of all living entities, was so disrespectful to his own daughter, Sati, who was not only chaste but was also a great soul, that she gave up her body because of his neglect.
Right? So, now Maitreya Rishi is speaking, Oho anatmayam mahad asya pashyata. Just see, you know, he's astonishing, Maitreya is saying, that, you know, such a great Prajapati, who is the maintainer of all living entities, right? Pati also means one who maintains. So, he's the maintainer of all living entities, and his own daughter has to commit suicide. What maintenance will offer to all living entities, right? Right? If the most famous, you know, there is a tuition teacher, his own son fails, you know, in the exam. Said what tuition, one may say sometime, you know. You know, he said he's a best tuition teacher, but his own son is failing in the exam. You know, kind of. So they're saying he's the best Prajapati, great maintainer of living entities. His own daughter has to commit suicide in dissatisfaction, right? Oho anatmayam mahadasya pashyata. Right? So it's very astonishing. So Prabhupada says the word anatmaya is significant. Atmaya means the life of the soul. So this word indicates that although Daksha appeared to be living, actually he was a dead body. Otherwise, how could he neglect Sati, who was his own daughter? Yes, go ahead.
Daksha, who is so hard-hearted that he is unworthy to be a Brahmana, will gain extensive ill fame because of his offenses to his daughter, because of not having prevented her death, and because of his great envy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Okay, so Maitreya Rishi is actually now, you know, condemning Daksha. That how, you know, how hard-hearted is that he didn't even prevent his daughter to commit, you know, this suicide. Therefore, he'll get so much ill fame. Daksha is described here as the most hard-hearted and therefore unqualified to be a Brahmana. Right? Brahmadruk, here the word Brahmadruk is used. Soyam durmar shahrideyo Brahmadruk. Brahmadruk has been same, it says, some commentator says, Prabhupada says, that is same as Brahma Bandhu. Guru text 31, yes.
While people were talking among themselves about the wonderful voluntary death of Sati, the attendants who had come with her readied themselves to kill Daksha with their weapons.
Okay, so after she killed, now they wanted to take the revenge of from Daksha or this. Yes.
They came forward forcibly, but Bhrigu Muni saw the danger and, offering oblations into the southern side of the sacrificial fire, immediately uttered mantric hymns from the Yajur Veda by which the destroyers of yajnic performances could be killed immediately.
Right. So then Bhrigu Muni chanted hymns offering sacrifice, and then there appears Ribhus from the sacrificial fire to prevent the sacrifice being destroyed. Yes.
When Bhrigu Muni offered oblations in the fire, immediately many thousands of demigods named Ribhus became manifested. All of them were powerful, having achieved strength from Soma, the moon.
Right? So Prabhupada glorifies the power of Vedic mantra in this section, that Vedic mantra can be so powerful. But and then he says, but in this Kali Yuga, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, all power is invested in Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Yes, read the next last verse.
When the Ribhu demigods attacked the ghost and Guhyakas with half-burned fuel from the Yajna fire, all these attendants of Sati fled in different directions and disappeared. This was possible simply because of Brahma Tejas, Brahmanical power.
Okay, so the word Brahma Tejas used in this verse is significant. In those days, Brahmanas were so powerful, simply by desiring and by chanting Vedic hymn, they could accomplish very wonderful effect. Okay? But in the present age of degradation, there are no such Brahmanas. According to the Pancharatrika system, in this age, the entire population is supposed to be consisted of Shudras, because the Brahmanical culture has been lost. Therefore, one should chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jai Granthra Srimad Bhagatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.